7 o'clock. So I always like to start by first, before we even do our placement meditation, see the symbol on the presentation that I have on every session. Those are 8 auspicious symbols, typically found on the entry doorways of a lot of Tibetan homes, and it represents a parasol for precious human life. You will see 2 fishes in there, right, for harmony. You will see the wheel of Dharma. You will see a conch shell. You will see the, what do you call, the unbroken knot or infinite knot, which is for steadfastness. So you can see those symbols in there. A flower is purity. In a vase, there's a vase, it's a pure wealth, you know. So all of those are auspicious symbols, just for curiosity, you know, just. Okay, again, welcome to establishing the daily practice. This is session 4, and before I start, I was just talking to Linda that I can take a vote here. But I know that some people enjoy watching Super Bowl, and then so there's a Valentine's Day on February 14th, and so and 13th on the Sunday is the Super Bowl, I believe. If you think we can have a class, I have no problem at all. Class number six, or I can combine the class, but the expectation would be that we'll go till the end, most likely. If you have any questions or feel like that's okay, either way, let Linda know, and we'll take a vote at the end, and then we'll decide if you want to have a, just last class will be the next class, and then you'll have a 3-week break before the next leading session. Okay? And I just want you to know I'm totally fine if you want to have 6th class, and if you want to have in between class, I'll be fine with all that. So I'm totally open. I just want to make sure I'm mindful of everybody else. And if some people enjoy that and becomes a late nighter on a Sunday, and then Monday is a tough day for a lot of people. Okay, so just like every time, I would suggest that we be, oops, something happened here. Okay, Annie. Share my slides. You just kicked me right out. Kick me right out and the presentation is gone. Give me 1 second. Do you mind if I just come right back?
Totally fine. Oh, I just read your comment, Rainey. And then if you need to, like, email it to me, I can share your screen.
I got it. It's coming up now. I don't know. It just kicked me right out.
That's so weird. Technology. Oh, it's always something.
Yeah, but I'm not on the Zoom now. I don't see myself. I don't see the...
I see you.
Can you just see me?
Yes.
Well, hold on for a second. Let me escape. Can you see the screen? Can you see the screen?
No, not yet.
Okay, so that's what we want to do. Technology.
So Sue, there was a direct message to me, but it was, can I say what you said, Rainey? Rainey said, Super Bowl, that's baseball, right? Yeah, so it was funny, it made me chuckle. All right, here we are. Now we see your screen.
I don't know why it kicked me out, but my presentation just vanished.
Who knows?
Sorry about that. So anyways, let's start with a mental prostration. And if you're able to do a real prostration, let's just do 3 prostrations, okay? Okay, and all you're doing by prostrating is you're removing your negative karma of body, speech, and mind, and you're developing good qualities and adoration for Dharma and to respect Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. You're not bowing down to anybody in particular. So the plan for the day, okay? We'll go through a quick summary so far. I've spent a little time on class, maybe a little bit more time on 2 and 3. The class number 1, I think everybody's seen it several times now. We'll talk about protecting our minds today. How do we protect our minds? As you already know, our mind chatters and does 20,000 different things. But we'll learn a little bit about some techniques, how to protect our minds. There's something called training in the 8 verses, and we'll get to that when I'm there. And we'll talk about what are the mandarin colored glasses, how to see the outside world when you are practicing something, to keep certain aspects of mandarin in your mind. We'll talk a little bit about walking meditation, and then how do we feed the Dharma practice, some helpful activities to do. And we can also self-evaluate, how am I doing? It's another way. We all like to do that once in a while, right? And then, of course, everyday Dharma. And we'll also talk about what it is like to live in a vow, okay? And then we talk about other things like prayer wheels and how do we rejoice in other things, and when difficulties come, what happens. And then we'll talk about even offering the food, how do we offer the food, a little bit about yoga or sleeping, how do we go to bed, and then we'll do meditation and dedication, some closing remarks, okay? So that's the plan for the day. So let's just, let's put our cell phones away, bring your mind to the present moment, okay? Take a deep breath and release. And again, making sure your spine is straight, you're sitting comfortably, your mouth is relaxed, eyes are slightly open or closed, lips are so lightly touching each other. And your right palm of your hand is on top of your left. And the thumbs are touching each other. About 1 or 2 inches below your navel. Just relax on your lap if you can. And just scan your body to see if there's any tightness anywhere. Start from your leg. Go all the way to the top, slowly. And again, we're going to do what they call shine or placement meditation, that you're looking at one object only. And in this case, it's a neutral object, breath. Okay? And so you're watching your breath coming in and coming out. And if your mind starts to wander, just slowly bring your mind back to the breath. And as with any practice you do, you must set the motivation first. Okay? You're setting the intention of what you are going to do. So let's set up a motivation. And basically you're giving energy to your body and mind. And visualize breathing in clean, clear, white light. And exhaling sluggishness, contraction, obscurations in a form of black smoke. Soaking in some of that white light, giving energy and inspiration to the mind, and breathing out all which contradicts our aspiration. And then call to your mind our wish to do something meaningful with our lives. And then recognizing that we have some kind of a precious opportunity, wishing to do something with that. And then contacting that place in our hearts that sincerely wishes or wants to help the situation in this world for the various beings in their various situations and existence. And the wish to be able to develop the abilities of body and mind and the qualities that will enable us to a lasting way. Or help in a lasting way, will enable us to help in a lasting way. So generate the wish that by hearing these teachings, we might be able to put them into practice exactly in the manner in which they are intended and swiftly ripen the qualities of enlightenment within us. And then by inviting the teachers in this place, in the presence of, in the guise of our lives, all the lineage teachers and going back to Shakyamuni, Buddha, adding them to the present and to bless our minds and we should receive these teachings for the benefit of all living beings. So thank you. Bring your attention to the class. We're going to start by some definitions again. When you practice a lot of, when you're reading the requirements, when you're doing a lot of pujas, you find this word, two accumulations. May I receive the two accumulations? May I get the qualities of the two accumulations? So what are the two accumulations? So you may have heard the two birds, the two wings of the bird. You may have heard about method and wisdom, all these words. What they're talking about is, when you look at Lamrim, okay, scope one, as you already know, kind of preps you, wakes you up, right? We kind of talked about it in last class or so. And in the end, and then all the way to feeling that I don't want this samsara, I want to be liberated, and you get an understanding of emptiness. That's the wisdom wing. That's one of the accumulation. And the other side is, okay, I'm this existence right now, how do I function so I may become enlightened? And there we talk about the six perfections, which we'll touch later on, developing bodhicitta and equanimity. Those are methods that you use to then develop your mind to become enlightened. So when you say about two accumulations, you're talking about emptiness and the method that we can work with to then get enlightened. So what is this, does it say? It's also called the two collections or the two types of merits. We have the merit of virtue, which develops the method side of the path by practicing generosity, morality, patience, joyful effort, all those things. And the merit of the transcendental wisdom, which develops the wisdom side of the path by meditating on emptiness and so forth. So those are the two accumulations. In case when you see these things, you question, what is it? You know, so that's what it is. Then we've been talking about generating merit and creating merit field. And, you know, when we do a seven-link practice, we do merit field. What is a merit? So it's a positive imprint left on our mind by virtuous or dharma actions. the principal cause of happiness. The merit of virtue, when coupled with the merit of wisdom, eventually results in what they call rupakaya, or it's a form of very beautiful. Rupa means beautiful, and kaya means body. It gives you a different body, like a transcendental body of some kind. But anyway, the key is what the merit is, really looking at creating happiness within you, and by doing virtuous things, doing the water bowls, practicing, offering, cleaning the place, taking care of your teachers, attending the Dharma classes, all those are good merits. And then you will hear in the meditation today that there are, may I receive all three types of morality. Okay, what is the three types of morality? So when you talk about the six perfections, the way we should behave in this body, or we should, in the method side, when we go to work, when we are awake, when we are thinking of this body and mind right now as it is, the way to develop your mind, you develop this generous mind. And then the second piece is morality. There's three kinds. One is the morality of refraining from non-virtuous action. So those who attended the karma classes, you should know the non-virtuous action of body, speech, and mind. Right? No kidding, no stealing, no covetousness, and no divisiveness, and that kind of stuff. Right? No harsh speech. So that's refraining from them. Second one, creating merits, morality of creating merits. Do good things, virtuous things. And the last morality is benefiting others. It's not always I, right? You're supposed to get loosen up that I. So you're thinking about helping others. Okay? Just be familiar with these words. You'll hear them quite often. Any questions on the definitions? Okay. This I'll go through very quickly. Class number one. Basically, class one was a pep talk, right? We saw the videos, we did the prostrations, and the whole idea of leather and butter analogy, but you know, so you understand you want to bring the dharma in your mind and let it get in there so it doesn't become a part-time job. Right? Think about most of us, how much we sleep, work, family duties, other things. Dharma is a small portion of it. And the whole idea is not for everybody. I'm just generalizing all of these things. But what they're trying to say is, let the dharma soak in, so you start to remove those bad imprints we have that we've been creating for, I don't know, in Tibetan would say eons. So the whole idea is, dharma is not something you do for maybe 20 minutes and then, you know, here's my reality, right? You want to slowly soak it in so it becomes part of your life. That's the whole idea. And then we talked about the reason this particular module comes where it is right now is because you've already started learning about the precious human rebirth and karma and taking refuge in the lower realms and all of those things, right? Death and impermanence and so forth. So now it's time to, you've already been prepped to say, okay, I want to take a refuge, and some of you have taken a refuge, and now you want to practice. You want to do something about it. So that's why this is the you know, where we say the rubber meets the road. Okay? And then we talked about the morning practices. The Lama Zopa Rinpoche suggests what to do when you get up. You can just generate bodhicitta mind. Some people like to do calm abiding, some breathing, some motivation, and bodhicitta. Right? It's no particular way, but it's a suggested way, right? You get up. And you'll see today when we do the sleep yoga that you actually go to sleep like a Buddha in Buddha's lap. Okay, here's a preview of that. So when you get up, Buddha melts in you and you develop bodhicitta. So already you start your day outright. Okay, and then we talk about doing your, you can then take a little break. Some people may want to go straight to meditation and all of those things. But generally speaking, in my particular case, I like to do a morning preliminary practices in my mind. Then I go take like a little coffee break and a shower. And then I come back to my altar and then I do the meditation session or my practice. Right? So that's what I do. And then, of course, there are mantras to recite. Again, for those who don't know what a word mantra means, Geshe-la even mentioned it this last weekend. Mantra is that which protects your mind. Right, so think about it. If you're doing Tara Mantra or Chain Raising Mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, first stage is learning the words. Then you're visualizing. Then you get the meaning of the mantra. And after a while, it's right there. And what you're doing, your mind is occupied with virtuous, it's a virtuous mind. You're not thinking about, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, right? I got to do this, I got to do that, I have to do this. So mantra protects your mind. So you can say some mantras. And then, of course, we'll talk a little bit more about it. And then there's an evening practice. And of course, in the evening practice, again, he talks, oh, I forgot to mention, and he also mentions to do prostrations to 35 concession Buddhas, or you can optionally do Vajra Sattva purification practice. Then you do your mantra, you read a little lamrim, and off you go. And then you come back in the evening. Again, you may want to do some, the three bows that we do, prostrations that we do, do a little bit of prostration practice to confession Buddhas. And then, of course, you want to do lamrim reading a little bit. And then the sleeping yoga is there. And then do a little Vajra Sattva if you want. And then you can go to sleep. Now, none of this is like you must do. This is giving you just some guidelines. And you have to start slowly. Okay? And get it in the system. Words are simply words. Unless you get an experience and you feel that experience, that's when it becomes meaningful. And I put this akin to when you drive first time someplace, it seems like it's a long way and you're paying attention to the road and you're looking at the signs and, oh, there's a store and, oh, I remember this, oh, make a right, and it seems like a long way. Now you've done it for a year, what happens? You can be singing a song and next thing you know, you're parking your car, right? It's the same way with a lot of these practices. You pick up a few things so that you can practice properly. Then you start to understand the meaning. Then you listen to your teachers. And then after a while, you start practicing. Okay, so just think of that. And then we talked about the meditation manuals, if you remember. We talked about the Lamrim Chenmo, right? And then we talked about, of course, Lama Zopa Rinpoche wrote the Lamrim Chenmo. We also have the liberation in palm of your hand, if you remember that. So remember those meditation manuals. And then I remember, I think Linda may have already provided you this meditation little booklet for meditation. Very nice little booklet. It follows the Lamrim pretty much. So it's got some really nice little statements from Lama Zopa Rinpoche and what to think. It will always say, think like this, say like this, and then meditation. So it helps some people. Okay? So that's just overview of morning and doing your mantra morning practices and evening practices. But then we talked about six preparatory practices. So now what is this on top of everything else, right? So what is the preparatory practice for? It is prepping you for your meditation session. It's like priming you. Don't be stretched before we exercise. It's something like that. It's getting your mind in the right place. Can you imagine just walking around doing all these activities and then I'm going to sit down and start meditating? It's difficult to do, right? So we also talked about having a nice altar. We talked about how to set up the altar. I'll be more than happy to explain that again if somebody needs to. But once the altar is there, then you want to do your preparatory practices. So first of all, what is the first preparatory practices? Cleaning the space. Right? Even, we told you, even big lamas, they have all attendants to clean everything that they want, but they still choose to clean their place. Why? Because it's a practice. And we talked about I gave you a little story about this dull monk, Chudapatanka, who met with Buddha, and he would not learn anything, and the monks kicked him out. He was so completely upset about it. So when he saw Buddha gave him a simple little task to do, just clean the outside. First, he told him to clean all the shoes and sandals and then clean the yard. And he would have to say, dirt be gone, stain be gone. And over time, he connected that I am removing my obscurations. I am removing my afflictions. And he ultimately long story short, he became a realized being. He became an abbot for the nuns, and he was able to teach. So cleaning the space has been given a lot of importance, even if it's dusting and taking those, if you have incense burner or something, just cleaning it out a little bit. And think you're cleansing your mind. You're prepping yourself to sit down and do a meditation. And then of course, making offerings. And you want to make those offerings, even if it's a little thing. You don't have to go running out. If you can afford and do it from your backyard or your garden, flowers and stuff, great. But if you're not able to, at least offer, if you can offer the bowls, even if you offer one small thing, multiply it in your mind. Your mind is amazing, right? If you offer one flower, you can think you're offering all flowers. And I sometimes even mentally go and offer roses and gardenias and jasmine and lotuses and think about all these beautiful flowers and colors, just offer. Okay, so that's another way. And of course, you want to arrange them beautifully. You don't want to throw them, that's nicely, put it nicely. Remember, you're prepping your mind. Now you want to sit in the nice meditation position and sit down. Again, be comfortable. You know the 7-point meditation position. Now you sit down, or if you're in a chair, how to keep your spine, legs, hands, jaws, mouth, tongue, lips, all that, right? Keeping your eyes slightly open, if you can. And then you want to create a mind of refuge. What is the refuge again? You're going in the protection of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Take me in. You're opening up your channels. You're opening up your mind so that it comes to you in a good way, right? That's what taking refuge is. You're going under protection. Like a child takes refuge in mom's lap, right? That's what you're doing. And then you develop, think about bodhicitta. And again, it's difficult for some people to develop bodhicitta or talk about bodhicitta immediately. So they say to start with yourself. Be kind to yourself. And then take somebody. Could be anybody that's deceased or somebody that just passed or somebody you want to take care of. And that's how you develop and then expand that and realize all these sentient beings at one point or the another. We call them mother sentient beings. Why? Because if you truly understand and believe and have faith and conviction in Dharma of karma, then you know that previous lives and many lives, somebody is one of these sentient beings, maybe your mother. I put that akin to taking a jar with water and putting sand in it and shaking it for 15 minutes. It would be like you could see that each sand may touch the other sand pebbles inside, little kernels, right? Because you're shaking it up and they're in this. So if you have eons of lives, these people have helped you. And you want to repay those kindness. You want to develop that bodhicitta for sentient beings. Okay? And then you want to invoke your merit field. We are talking about Buddha here. You may have your deity of practice, Mother Tara, Vajrasattva, Chenrai Sig, Medicine Buddha, okay, all Buddhas, okay? So you can, and then of course your teachers. And if you don't have a teacher, you can certainly have Shakyamuni Buddha. Okay, and then we offer 7-limb prayer. Now you're sitting down and you are seated on your cushion or on your chair, and you are now, you've invoked the merit field. The teachers are present. You've already done the cleaning. You've offered the things. Now you're doing this mind prayer. 7-limb is a prayer. And it's amazing that you first start by prostration, right? I reverently prostrate with my body, speech, and mind. So visualize in your mind. Okay? I offer all things actual and imagined. Think about the offerings you've already made and how you've thought about it in your mind. Just beautiful offerings. Then there's a little bit of confession. You are in your sanctuary. You are in a quiet location. Get it out of here. I declare all my negative actions accumulated since the beginning of times. Offer it up. It will remove from your mind. It will remove it from your heart. It's a wonderful practice, right? And then what do? We rejoice in the merits of all holy and ordinary beings. Rejoice all the good things that are going on. And remember, you got here because you did something positive. Right? So you develop that rejoicingness. Okay? Please remain until the samsara ends. You're asking teachers to remain. If you don't ask, they go. So you make a strong wish that they remain and turn the wheel of dharma for all living beings so they continue to teach. And in the end, what do? We dedicate. And why do we dedicate? We had an intention setting in the beginning, but now you want to direct those things, harness that direction, do something about it. That's why we dedicate. Right? Any question? What to do first, what comes second? I just want to check that a lot of times everything has a little sidetrack. But if you bring it, if you just sit sit yourself up, like looking from the top, you have a morning session and you sit up and you develop bodhicitta, and then you want to come abiding, you bow down, you clean the place up, you make some offerings, then you sit down on your cushion, you do your refuge, you develop your bodhicitta, then you ask your merit field to be there, offer up the nice long, the seven-limb prayer, and then I forgot to mention that when you do bodhicitta, you can even say the bodhicitta prayer we do, the four immeasurables, right? And a lot of times we'll say, may all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. And then you can add, may I be the one to do that. Okay? May all sentient beings be inseparable from happiness and free from suffering. May I be able to do that. That you can, your goal is to become Buddha mind. Your job is to get liberated. Your mind, you want to get liberated. You want to become a Buddha. So then put yourself in that trajectory by doing these things. I myself will do it. So you're practicing. Okay. And then of course, after seven prayer is done, we do a mandala offering. And what is a mandala offering? That's a beautiful prayer. It is, you're offering the world as you wish it were. All your joys, every happiness you have, you're offering it. And we even make a little gesture like a lotus feet, lotus, but it's about the four continents in the Mount Meru. And it says, this ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon, and then you offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure land, and then you offer it up. You can say, I imagine this as a Buddha figure, offer it. So anyways, it's amazing when you say it in mind, you can say it like this, but when you verbalize it, you mess it up a little bit. But anyways, the idea is to offer mandala. And there's, if you read your readings, there are many places where it's extensive mandala offering. Extensive. There's bowls or top of tears and put jewels in it and some things in it and all kind of offerings. And then and don't forget to make requests. You're requesting your teachers to teach. And when you request sincerely, may my teachers that are already, I've invoked them in the merit field and my Buddha or my deities and my Buddhas, please teach me. You're telling your mind this, and you're also opening up your mind to allow that teaching to come. It works both ways. It's amazing how this works. Okay, any question on that?
And just as a reminder, I'll say, if you do have a question, just wave or raise your hand, or you can use the little reaction button and raise your hand that way. So just let me know. And if you are watching on YouTube, feel free to leave that a question or a comment in the chat on YouTube.
Yeah, I just want you guys to start to now see the flow of things. And initially it will feel like, oh my gosh, there's so much to do and I don't have that kind of time. A couple of ways to look at it. If a real teacher will tell you, well, get up a little early. Is the one way to do it. And another way to do it, there is no real regimen that you do all this completely and all in details and all that. You can make a concise one. And remember, you can put it away for a while and come back to it later. But if you are going to sincerely practice, take anything in life, computer language to sports to anything, you're not going to dedicate any time, but you want to learn it. It's theoretical. You got to do it. Right? So any question? And then we talk a little bit about setting up an effective meditation session, and we talked about how, and you already seen it now, just from this little bit of overview, that there is a preparation, then there is a motivation setting, then you do the actual meditation, and then you dedicate. Four pieces, right? In the meditation itself. Before that, you do the preparatory practices. Okay. And again, all of these things is to shift your mind. Okay, shift your mind. And if you think about it, we have so many imprints. And we'll talk a little bit about that in today's session, actually, how they work and how you can try to slowly and steadily work to remove them. Okay, so, and then, so let me move forward a little bit. We already talked about that. I was slow on this. We talked about six preparatory practices. Okay, any questions on that, please feel free to write them down. I'll be more than happy to go over them. Seven limb prayer we talked about. We did a mandala offering. Short discussion on that. Making requests. If you look at the Lamrim foundation of all good qualities, you'll see, and I'll show you the page and everything in a few minutes. It's in a question mark. Please give it to me, or please help me with it. It's always requesting it. That's a request. May I be able to do that? Help me so I may be able to do that. That's how it is written. And we talked about preparation, motivation, actual meditation, and dedication. Okay, so now we are on to class three. And this was important class in the sense that, you know, we talked about Lamrim. You know, 84,000 teachings out there, right, from Buddha. And there's no way to know all 84,000 teachings. There's a lot of stuff. So basically, our lineage teachers, starting from Lama Atisha, basically provided a structure to Lamrim, took all the key main points of Lamrim, all the teachings of Buddha. Not that they changed anything. It's exactly those teachings, but they gave it a structure. Okay, so it's easy for us to follow. And how lucky we are. Okay, we'll talk about how to meditate on Lamrim. So let's just chat a little bit about that. Okay, so first thing I suggested was do a quick review meditation. Look at the topics of Lamrim. You know, after a while, they will get into your mind. You can very quickly see the qualities of the teacher. You know, and all of a sudden how to teach and how to learn precious human rebirth, right? And then immediately you go to death and impermanence. And then you will go in your mind and say, oh, what it is to go in the lower realm, what are those realms? And then you say, I am prepped. I can die anytime. I understand how precious my life is. I want to take refuge for refuge. You take refuge, and now you're going to understand how karma works, the law of karma. And once you have those fundamentals down, you move on to the Four Noble Truths, the types of suffering. And remember, it talks about suffering, but the whole goal is to become enlightened, to be happier, to become a Buddha. But you got to recognize how samsara is. So you go through the 12 links and all of those things, and you generate a mind of renunciation that I don't want to do this. I want to become a Buddha. I want to be liberated. So that becomes renunciation. You learn a little bit about emptiness. So you understand how reality exists and how we are so stuck, like we truly exist concretely, right? So you think about that. And then you move on to the last scope of the Lamrim, and you start about thinking about why we think about equanimity. Why, how do I function, the method, the generosity, the morality, the patience, and the joyful effort, and developing concentration, and ultimately seeing the wisdom of emptiness. Right, so you understand that. So now you have an idea of what these are. Now, if you look at the topics again, you will see that, okay, we're going to start slow and we're going to just focus on precious human rebirth, right? So when you're sitting down for meditation, do you have to know all freedoms and endowments and all those things? Not necessary. Just choose the one that ones that relate to you, okay? So let me just move forward so we can I can share some of these things with you. So we talked about two review meditation. We are talking about eight freedoms, death and impermanence, and be patient and meditate on one or two points at a time. Okay. So just choose one, you know. Freedom from being born in a place where with no dharma. We can all relate to that. Right? Think about being born in Afghanistan. Or, I mean, I'm just generalizing, you know, again. But think about that you cannot practice any other faith, but whatever they are practicing or not practicing. You can relate to that. Okay, how about freedom from being born in an animal realm? Look how ruthless animals can be. Have you seen those Mutual of Omaha shows long time ago and Wild Kingdom? You see those African safari? All it is somebody's going to eat somebody, somebody is hiding, somebody is talking, somebody is anxious. So you can think in those ways. Do we want that life? How lucky I am to be a human so that I can practice Dharma. So you see what I'm saying? And you know what? You want to take a look at this in your meditation, one or two points, and look at it from different angles. Look at it from many different angles. Where you are, what is your life like? What do you have? Is it functioning? Are you able to practice Dharma? You know, you work at it from different angles. And when you get that aha moment, and it really shakes you, you feel it, go deeper. Hold that thought for a while. And then when it starts to fade again, say thank you. Then go do your food activity or leisurely activity, whatever you do. But I just want you to see that you don't have to go through each one of them in a meditation. Nobody's saying that. Just choose the ones. If the whole idea is experience and not words. Next time when you see this in word, in a retreat or somebody speaking about it, it will trigger that experience. And why are we doing this? Now, take that big view again, eagle's view. You are trying to have an effect on the imprints that we've had for long times. We take things for granted. And if you truly want to practice, the whole idea here is to work, to get your mind in a place where it now becomes virtuous mind. It appreciates the human, precious human rebirth and an opportunity to practice. That's the reason for this kind of thinking, okay? Let me move forward. Okay. See, we are able to meet the pure followers of Buddha's teaching. Isn't that a great endowment or richness? And we are able to even sit today and discuss this or talk this or learn this. And practitioners can enjoy kind support. So that's why it's so important. Here's the nine-point death meditation. I'm not going to go into details of it, but we can at least be certain. Death is certain. The time of the death is uncertain. Nothing in this world, when the time comes, is going to stop it. And at that point, it's a little too late. So again, this is to pep you up, right? There's a sense of urgency in a way to say, yes, I am on the right path. I really want to learn this and I want to practice this. And again, you're doing what? You're preparing for your next stage of life so you can continue or be enlightened. So that's the whole idea of meditation, okay? And remember, a lot of people think, again, we talked about a little bit about it, that, oh, you know, I'm a Buddhist. It's all about being calm. I don't let these things affect me. We think that way, which is okay to a certain point. But that's not what Buddha is saying. Buddha recognized when he became enlightened, I don't have to die. I don't have to age. I don't have to be born. I don't have to get sick. I can be liberated. I can be enlightened. I am enlightened, right? So he was enlightened. I'm just saying that. That's Buddhism's promise. And you got to think about that. Let that soak in for a second. How? So think about karma. Think about how mind works. Mind is clear, all-knowing, and we are simply projecting our imprints from karmic imprints right now. That's how we see the world. But when it's clear and it's in dharma, virtuous mind, all clear, none of these mundane things that we are attached to is going to create the fear of dying, the fear of aging. It's just a normal body process. Your mind changes. Okay? Then we talked about glance meditations. These are trigger experiences. So, let me see if I know I'm in my notes a place. Give me 1 second here. I have it in my head, so I sometimes don't look at the notes and I forget where I am. You know, I want to talk, when you're thinking about death meditation, I was thinking about 9/11. When I was reading today, I was thinking about 9/11. Those people who went to work, they didn't know they were going to die. You know, it's so uncertain, right? It can happen anytime. So I believe the foundation of all good qualities is in the prayer book. And what I want you to do is, I will open the page up. I have it marked here. And what I want to show you is, if you feel like you don't understand the Lam Rim, it's a very short, beautiful prayer. It's also a short Lam Rim. It's called The Foundation of All Good Qualities, page 93 in the prayer book. You can also go to Lama Yeshe Archive and put down any teachings on Foundation of All Good Qualities. You'll find it. A couple of places you can find it. And if you read through it, and I'll just read 3 or 4 quick paragraphs in it, and you'll see what we are talking about. So the first one says, the foundation of all good qualities is a kind and perfect pure guru devotion. Understanding the precious freedom of the rebirth is found only once. Precious human rebirth. This life is impermanent and as a water bubble. Remember how quickly it decays and death comes. After death, just like shadow follows the body, the results of the black and white karma follow. Death and impermanence. It just follows the Lam Rim right to the T. Okay, finding a firm and definite conviction in this, please bless me always to be careful, to abandon even the slightest negativities and accomplish virtuous deeds. So avoiding non-virtuous, you're talking about karma. So it goes on that way. It's about 14 or 15 paragraphs. But here's a great glance meditation. It not only is a topic, but it tells you a little prayer. And it again ends, you know what? Help me to accomplish this. Please bless me to generate this. Please bless me to accomplish this again. Please bear the responsibility again here. Please bless me to practice. It's always asking for the blessing. It's requesting. It's in a request form. So just wanted to point that out, that it's in there and you can find it. It's called The Foundations of All Good Qualities, okay? It is a mini Lam Rim. So glance meditation triggers experiences. If you had that aha moment with precious human rebirth or death and impermanence, you read this and will trigger that thought. Okay? So generate a deep, deep focused experience, hold that aha moment, and then go deeper. Okay? And then you can close your meditation.
Hey, Matt, I did put a link to Foundation of All Good Qualities in the chat. It's from the Lama Lama Yeshe Wisdom Archive website.
Fantastic. Even if you do this, some people may not have time to read all Lamrim, but you can read the foundation of all good qualities. Choose one or two paragraphs or stanzas, I should say, that you want to read, and then look at the Lamrim Chenmo or liberation in the palm of your hand to get the details. Remember, Lamrim Chenmo is very deep, sometimes a little thick for some people because it was meant for monks, right? But it's still got all, it has everything that you want to learn from. So it's a very good way to kind of bounce off of each other. And we're talking about a multi-pronged approach is, you know, you don't have to do everything at one point, right? You can do some pieces in the morning, then get up, take your shower, have your coffee, have breakfast, come back. If you, that's what you want, and then sit down. Some people like to not eat before they do their practice. Some people feel comfortable. If they had a cup of tea sitting there, they still won't drink it, but at least if they wanted, they have it. So whatever works for you, this is not a like a regiment, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are some steps that help build on one another, which helps, like the 6 preparatory practices, the 7 limb prayers, right? But setting up a bodhicitta, calm abiding, doing your prostrations, doing your mantras, do it at your free time and whenever you can do it, right? So work out your own formula and set a different tone for the day. Like I sometimes will get in the middle of the day and I've lost some of the dharma is weak at that point. I'm in the middle of a meeting and all this is going on. All of a sudden, I keep a beautiful tanka in front of me. I look up and I do a quick refuge. Just bring myself back to the normal. I get heightened mind. Activity, chatter gets a little more into the story. Bring it right back down. I'll do that. That's just my practice. Right? So just you try different things that work for you. And all we can show you is some of the things that you can actually try different ways of incorporating into your practice. So now we are in plan for today. And just remember, there's a lot of stuff here, but I'm going to go through it quickly. It's nothing. All this is trying to tell you that now you've done your practice and now you're going to go in the out there. What do you do then? Is the dharma finished now? Is your dharma and mind now close? So dharma is everything you do. It is really practicing your mind. So there's something called training in the 8 verses. You can put a lamrim colored glasses, walk in meditation, and we'll talk about some of these things. Okay? Just I have 10 minutes before we do the meditation. Think about protecting your mind. Look at the news. Everything is blaming somebody. Something goes wrong, we blame somebody. Right? It's a culture of lawsuits. You know, something happens, how I can make money. We are into that. We don't think about our mind and karma. It's pointing fingers outside you. Okay? Then what are we talking about? 8 verses. Let me just show you something. I'm just going to focus on the third one. It is good to know this. It is also on page 161 of your gold prayer book. Okay. It's very powerful. Keshavar teaches this once in a while. If you ask him, you'll go over it again. This is 8 verses for training your mind. So look at number 3, for example. In every action, I will watch my mind. And the moment a destructive emotion arises, I will confront them strongly and avert them, since they will hurt both me and others. You know, we say, well, he said that, and because of that, you know, I got upset. I'm so sorry, but this is, we go into this. You know what Geshe-la says? Now you have 2 crazy people. One that had lost their mind who did all that, and now you have lost your mind. So now you have 2 crazy people. You want to, this is when you control, you manage your mind. Some of these are tough to first handle, but when you understand them thoroughly, they are just fantastic for practicing. I just put 4 of the 8 verses. But if you go to page 161, you'll find them. Then let me talk about lumbrim glasses. So you're learning about precious human rebirth, or you're talking about death and impermanence. Whatever you're taking, that one thing, I'm thankful to be born in a place where Dharma exists or whatever. I'm thankful to be a human being. And you look around. So you put your glasses on and you see just from that perspective, you see sad faces. You see people standing in the corner of a street asking for things and says, how blessed I am that I have this ability that I can practice. There are so many people suffering. You go to a grocery store and see people occupied or down. You can see how occupied their mind is. I am so lucky to have a human life that I have actually picked up Dharma practice and I can practice. You know, you see, hear an ambulance. Oh my gosh, death is uncertain. You see what I'm saying? Everything you see now, you know, think, oh, an ambulance is going by. My goodness, it's stopping my traffic, you know. Instead of thinking that way, you can think in this way. And you're putting in lumbrim practice and your meditation to experiences in your mind. So again, your everything you do, you know, Lamazupa Rinpoche, there's a 7-year program in Nalanda. He even asks people to write a diary, like keep a diary or a journal. And he will say, take your vows. You've taken up vows of not killing, not stealing, no intoxication, no sexual misconduct. Then write down, which ones did you break? You know? And then there are other practices. Some people walk around with the white stones and black stones. Everything they do good for the day, they put it in the right pocket, left, and the bad ones in the left pocket, and they count at the end of the day how many they have black stones. Again, these are techniques and tools. You can choose whatever. You can create a journal, plus and a minus sign, plus for good things you've done, negative. And you don't have to do it for all day or all night. You can do it for an hour, for 2 hours, for 3 hours, just to see how your mind jumps to certain things. And you're like, how did that come up? Because we've been practicing it. And so these are tools to, again, change your mind to a positive, to a virtuous mind. You're learning to practice, to develop bodhicitta, to understand emptiness, to understand living in generosity and morality and all of those things, making it joyful. Okay? Living in the vows basically talks about precepts and lay vows. When you take a refuge, you can take a lay vow, right? And you don't have to take all 5 vows. You can take just 1 or 2 or 3, whichever pleases you. Thou shalt not kill, and make it serious. And they say when you do something with a vow, it is much more stronger because you have a sort of an aura around you because you have committed in your mind and you've taken a refuge. So when you take refuge and you take those vows, if you normally don't kill, that's a good thing. But when you take a vow and you say, I will not kill, it sits with you. And you will see how it helps you. And then they talk about precepts. Precepts are, you know, a lot of times when you go to a retreat or some major functions, they will do precepts. Precepts are like living in a day of a monk's life. You know, you will not only take your lay vows, but on top of them you say, I will not wear jewelry. I will not sit on a big chair or big bed, you know, and then you fast, you eat in the afternoon and you fast for the day and then you eat the next morning and you will not do dance and music and all that. You're controlling your mind. So you get an experience of how the monks ordained people. And that's why sometimes you meet an ordained person, you see some sort of a kind, calm aura around about them because they live in vows. Okay? So you can practice that. You know, you can try it sometimes. Okay, so those are the, and there's a beautiful book if you are really interested in learning it. Again, it may be free or not, but it is called Lamazopa Rinpoche's The Direct and Unmistaken Method. Tells you everything about how to take a precept in the meaning. Beautifully written. When you really read it, you will see the value of it. I'm just blabbering a few points here right now. Okay. It's called Lamazopa Rinpoche, The Direct and Unmistaken Method of Purifying and Protecting Yourself. And it says in the bottom, the practice and benefits of 8 Mahayana precepts. Okay. And then there are other things. You can also create these beautiful little posters, little sayings. Some people have tattoos. I'm not saying you should have a tattoo or not. But, you know, never give up. When you're walking in a strategic location, whenever you feel down, it reminds you, you know, when you're driving, control your anger, right? Be patient. And you're trying to see that. So, okay, I got to calm down before you roll that window down. Okay. So think in certain ways how these things are beneficial. Okay. Prayer wheels, very powerful, has thousands of mantras in it. They say even if you touch somebody, it purifies them. And you can do your prayer wheel. Rejoice in somebody else's happiness. You have a sometimes difficult time and somebody has some positive thing going on. It's like, why not me, right? Remove that me and rejoice in their happiness. And remember, difficulties will arise. And if sometimes some people see that as a positive, that you're burning bad karma. So turn that around and think, yep, thank you. It's gone. It's out of my system now. You're creating good virtues. Bad karmas are burning out. Okay? Things will happen, and remember, you are in samsara. So you're going to have some of those things, but you have a larger goal and larger practice, and that's what sustains us, right? Because we are practitioners. Any question on that? And I also wanted to point out, there are other small practices, and I'll tell you, when you open the door, when you close the door, when you're sitting down, you could say things like that, and I have this. So when you sit down, Lama Zopa Rinpoche says, you can think, I am bringing sentient beings to the heart of enlightenment. When you stand up, you can think, may all sentient beings rise up from the oceans of samsaric sufferings. You can make up your own. I'm just saying, you can incorporate some of these things. And so every time you think, you walk, this is like a walking meditation. When you're out there walking, your mind is seeing things differently now than it used to. And maybe next class I'll talk a little bit about walking meditation, and I'll talk about how to offer food and how to think before going to bed, so that I can at least, maybe I have 5 minutes, I can talk about the food. These are the vows we talked about. Yoga of eating. Maybe this is something we can do today. And then we'll do the meditation. Okay? So when you are eating something, it's another way of practicing. Again, it's very powerful. So you visualize your teacher or your future Buddha in your heart. So yourself, a light, or a light of anything, like a small Buddha, mini Buddha in your heart. Then you take your food and you are off, you bless the food, right? And then you see the letters Om Ahum. So you say Om Ahum 3 times, Om Ahum, Om Ahum, body, speech, and mind. And see a light rays, beautiful beam of light going and getting the most beautiful qualities of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and bringing it back. And then it goes into your little Buddhas and it just goes away. And your mind becomes clear. You're offering the food and now everything you eat is blessed. Some people do cloud mantra. Instead of Om Ahum, they do a long mantra. And I read one time, Lama Zopa Rinpoche saying, if you do a cloud mantra, if you memorize and do a cloud mantra, it's like offering all the sand in all the Pacific Ocean beaches at one, all the offerings. That's how much it multiplies your offerings, your merits. It's that powerful. It's a long mantra of Namo Bhagavate Vajrasara Paramadhana. You might have heard that. And you would just learn that. It is on page, I believe, 25 on your prayer book, Golden Prayer Book. It's also on page 172, so it's a couple of places. And then before you partake the food, once you bless the food, and before you partake, think of your teachers. Remember their kindness to you and the teachings they have given. Then offer this ocean of nectar to them also, and then take it in. So everything becomes a nectar for you. Okay? So if you think about it, it can be very quick. Once you first get the story behind it, all you have to say is Om Ahum, Om Ahum, Om Ahum. And you can very quickly bless. Light goes, all the good qualities come in, you offer your teachers, let them partake it, it becomes nectar, and you offer it to your Buddha inside you, and it goes and goes into your body. And now you feel that power of the good nourishment. Okay? So think of, then sleeping is very easy. We'll talk about it next time. What I like to do is now, to time's sake, and again, the next class, we will remember this before we end and people start to go away. You know, we have a choice. I can go all the way to 8:30. We may do a Vajrasattva practice for purification practice, so at least you will understand, know what it is like. And then I can take some of the main points of the last class, and not many, what to do when the obstacles come, how to generate merits, how to purify yourself. Some of these things I've already mentioned several times, but I can re-emphasize that again. And then we will go into the question and answer session. So sorry, there's somebody trying to reach me. Give me 1 second. Okay. This is a meditation. It is quite lengthy, but it's a good way to think. So we talked about precious human rebirth. We talked about glance meditation. We talked about looking at Lam Rim topics. We talked about looking at the foundations of all good qualities and how it is the small Lam Rim. So here's a meditation that is going to walk you through those points. I have shortened few points just so that we can keep up with the pace and the length of the meditation. I have not taken all the points away, but I've shortened a few things in just to get so that you know. Otherwise, it was quite a long meditation. So just be aware of that. So again, take your position, meditation position. So this is a meditation using a daily meditation practice for Lam Rim meditation, and focusing on using the time that we have available to go and go more deeply into Lam Rim. And in this case, in particular, the precious human rebirth. So let's set the motivation. Begin by making sure the spine is straight and take a deep breath in and calling to the mind the motivation that we generated earlier, our innate wish to help, be helpful, our innate wish to stop suffering for ourselves and for others, our innate wish to experience unending happiness and to be able to share with others. And our wish to be guided and protected and blessed in order to be able to accomplish our goals. So then visualizing in space around us, our mother and father of this life and all living beings, especially those most familiar to us. Imagining that we are doing this practice on their behalf. So, and recognizing that there is no way to generate the realizations on the later stages of the path, such as the wisdom realizing emptiness, without first preparing our minds in the realization of the earlier stages. And especially with the wish to recognize the opportunity to our lives and not to waste it. We will do this practice in meditation on the precious human rebirth. So we take refuge and do and establish bodhicitta, very much like when you're doing the meditation. And we sit down and we take refuge and then we do bodhicitta. So invite to this place all our teachers, imagining that they merge together and take on the aspect of Shakyamuni Buddha, the radiant son of the Dharma. Feel Shakyamuni Buddha's presence as much as possible. And generate the mind of refuge by remembering what we are afraid of, what we hope to become, and looking to all enlightened beings, their teachings, and the community of helpers who have seen reality directly, completely entrusting ourselves to their care. And remember our wish to help others, especially taking responsibility for the happiness of others and seeing the urgency of developing our mind as quickly as possible with the mind of Bodhicitta. And now let's do the seven limb prayer, like you would do when you're sitting on your meditation cushion. And to prepare our mind for the meditation during the seven limb prayer, recognize the quality within Sakyamuni Buddha that we ourselves wish to develop in making prostration to that. And then making offerings to that. And then admitting a mistake that we may have made with the resolve to do it differently next time or not do it. And rejoicing in the goodness of ourselves and others. And then requesting our teachers to stay in our lives and teach us. And dedicating all that positive energy to enlightenment. Making requests, especially in our hearts, requesting Shakyamuni Buddha, the essence of all enlightened activity, to please bless our minds and to generate quickly the realizations of the path, especially the precious human rebirth. Shakyamuni Buddha then comes to the crown of your head and stays there to bless our mind for this meditation. So we do a little Lamrim meditation. So begin the Lamrim prayer, thinking of these verses as a further request to Shakyamuni Buddha. Imagining that as we recite the verse, we receive both the white nectar light of purification, clearing away those things that block us and block our minds from generating those realizations, and the golden light, giving us the very essence of that realization within our mind. The foundation of all good qualities is a kind and venerable guru. Correct devotion to him is the root of the path. By clearly seeing this and applying great effort, please bless me to rely upon this great respect, with great respect. Understanding that the precious freedom of this rebirth is found only once is greatly meaningful and is difficult to find again. Please bless me to generate the mind that unceasingly, day and night, takes its essence. To meditate on the precious human rebirth, first recognize the situation that we find ourselves in. Currently, we have a human life. We have intelligence. We have strength still in our bodies. We have some inclination for spiritual practices. More than just having faith in those practices, we actually have some interest to put them into practice ourselves. And we are free from being involved in any extreme negativity in our lives. We live in a place and in a time where the Son of the Buddha's teachings are still there. We are still in the age of Buddha's teachings existing in this world. Not only do the Buddha's teachings exist in the world, but the people are still gaining experience and freedom by putting them into practice. And there are still places to go and receive the teachings. And there are still people who are supporting the teachings. See, think about it. With all this richness in our life, there is nothing to stop us from freedom. There is nothing standing in our way. For us, it's only a matter of making effort. If we think about even just the human beings in this world, over 6 billion human beings in all various countries where they live, in all various situations of life that they find themselves in. Of all those 6 billion human beings, how many of them even live in a place where they could meet the Dharma? Where they could even hear the word enlightenment, freedom. Even in those countries where Dharma is available, it is just a small little pocket here and there. Even in one very big city, there might be few Dharma centers. But if I think of the entire population of that city, how many even come across a Dharma teaching and register it within their mind? It is so small. It is so rare and difficult to find this human rebirth. Of those who hear them, how many have any interest in Dharma? And of all those who have met the teachings, who have interest, who have leisure and freedom and fortune to pursue that interest, who have met the teachers and recognized the teachers, how many actually pursue the teachings? This situation that I find myself in is extremely rare. It is not common in this world to even think like this. So what am I going to do with it? What is it possible to achieve with my life? Many people have some deeply seated aspirations, some suspicion that another reality, another experience of life is possible, but they have not met the method. But I have met the method. What am I going to do with it? People all around me are suffering from sickness, aging, death, dissatisfied minds, mental and physical diseases all the time. And I have come into contact with these teachings that claim they can stop all these sufferings forever. How can I not try to pursue them? If there were some opportunity that I had to stop the death of all living beings, to stop the war, to stop famine, to stop disease, and I were not to try, how unfortunate that would be. It is so rare by the way of causes, how lucky I am. It is said in the teachings that a precious human rebirth comes about only with causes. Having practiced generosity, morality, patience, and especially making prayers. Think, I have prayed to receive this life. Think, I pray to have this opportunity. I pray to have this view. I pray to meet these teachings. I pray for a method to fulfill my deepest longings. And I pray to perfect my mind. Now, all the causes and conditions have come together in this life. My prayers have been answered. What am I going to do with it? So repeating the second verse of the prayer, Foundation of All Good Qualities, understanding that the perfect freedom of this rebirth is found only once is greatly meaningful and is difficult to find again. Please bless me to generate the mind that unceasingly, day and night, takes its essence. So ask Shakyamuni Buddha from the depth of your hearts to please bless us to recognize this precious opportunity that we have found, to not to forget it, and to use it to the best of our abilities, recognizing that nothing stands in our way to freedom, to enlightenment. All we have to do is make effort. How lucky we are. This life is as impermanent as a water bubble. Remember how quickly it decays and death follows. After death, just like shadow follows the body, the results of the black and white karma follow. Please bless me always to be careful, to abandon even the slightest negativities and accomplish all virtuous deeds. Seeking samsaric pleasure is a door to the suffering. They are uncertain and cannot be relied upon. Recognizing these shortcomings, please bless me to generate a strong wish for the bliss of the liberation. Now, led by this pure thought, mindfulness, alertness, great caution arise. The root of the teachings is keeping their vows. The root of the teaching is keeping the vows. Please bless me to train in supreme bodhicitta and bear the responsibility of freeing migratory beings. And even if I develop only bodhicitta, but I don't practice the three types of morality, again, from the definitions, morality of refraining from doing bad non-virtues, morality of creating merits, and morality of benefiting others. So again, but if I don't practice the three types of morality, I will not achieve enlightenment. With my clear recognition of this, please bless me to practice bodhisattva vows with great energy. Once I have classified distractions to wrong objects and correctly analyzed the meaning of reality, please bless me to generate quickly within my mind stream the unified path of calm abiding and special insight. In all my lives, please bless me that I never be separated from perfect gurus. May I enjoy the magnificent Dharma by completing the qualities of the stages of the path, and may I create in the state of Buddha. Now you repeat these words in your mind. Glorious and precious root guru, please abide on the lotus and the moon seat on my crown. And taking care of me with your great kindness, bestow upon me the attainments of the holy body, speech, and mind. And then Shakyamuni Buddha is extremely pleased with this effort that we made and promised to remind us of our precious human life and helps us to take advantage of this precious opportunity. Shakyamuni Buddha melts into the stream of golden light and descends into our heart, becoming inseparably mixed with our minds. Our body and mind are pervaded by this golden light and potential of our lives is fulfilled. We are transformed into pure being of golden light, abiding the world solely for the purpose of benefiting others. This is me. Imagine what that would actually feel like. And then dedicating any positive energy that we have generated during this meditation to swift enlightenment of each and every living being, to the freedom from suffering in this world and beyond, the attainment of perfect happiness for all living beings, and that we ourselves might especially take advantage of this precious life that we have found and develop all realizations of the path within our minds and quickly become exactly what is needed to benefit for all living beings. Thank you. Can bring your mind back to class. So you saw that meditation was taking the foundation of good, all good qualities, taking paragraphs from there, then just focusing on the precious human rebirth and how lucky we are. You don't have to have word by word this kind of stuff, but you can imagine these things, right? Very powerful. Okay. So for next session, we'll go a little bit more. I'll finish the sleeping yoga, how to bring success to in our practice, accumulating some merits, some of your, you know, purification practices we can do when things don't go our way, requesting prayers and chants, other forms of purification, just general overview of that, and then practice requirements that you can, you know, we can talk about even the requirements for this class and question and answers, and then how you practice your develop your practice and balance in, and how do you bring balance to all that. Any questions? I know we covered a lot, but you can see how it just flows, right? After a while, now you know when you're doing meditation, what do I meditate on? You know where to look for. I'm wondering how to do a glance meditation, how to do a V meditation, how to just take one or two lines and just sit on it for 2 weeks till you feel it, then move on. And then when you move on, you will see how everything is interweaved. You'll be looking at suffering in scope two and say, oh, karma, oh, precious human rebirth. It starts to make connections and all of a sudden it comes in front of you, all three scopes. It's mind-blowing. Okay? So anyways, Linda, any choice of having one class next time or having next class on Monday, following Monday?
I have not gotten really any feedback. So if anyone has any opposition to not holding class on the 14th, February 14th, just either shoot me an email or put it in the chat right now. Otherwise, we'll go with the plan of not holding class on the 14th.
The only thing I'm asking is make sure you read those requirements. If you're talking about three purposes and all the moralities, all of those things are in there to even strengthen your own understanding of this particular module. And I hope that now it's beginning to gel a little bit. What do I do? How do I do? At least some of these things are beginning to make sense now. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask now, or you can also next class come with a question you may have from what we have discussed, and I'll be more than happy to discuss that with you. Okay? So thank you. Long class again. I hope it was helpful, and we'll see you on next Monday.
Thank you so much, Hemant.
Thank you so much, guys.